smile on your face. If that didn't, there probably isn't going to be much that would. So I'm glad this world is not our home. I'm glad that we have a home that we can look forward to. But that first part of the song is talking about being in a right relationship with Jesus Christ and that fellowship with Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we think the world looks a little bit better, but it's a lie. And it's not greener on the other side. It's best to be with him in the not just, you know, in a relationship, but man, it can be a sweet fellowship too if we're right with him, that's for sure. So our preacher for this evening is Pastor Tim Cruz. Pastor Cruz has been, I was talking to him earlier, he pastors Shining Light Baptist Church in Monroe, North Carolina. He says, is it 30 years now this year? It's going to be coming up in March, 30 years. That's a testimony of faithfulness there. Has a lot of different interesting ministries that are there at we went to Shining Light Christian Camp a couple of years, and we enjoyed those times we were there with them, and their staff always did a great job. The people there are very sweet. I've heard Brother Cruz preach a number of times. Mrs. Wallace told me a couple months ago, she says, you got to hear this guy who preaches on Sunday morning. At least I'm hoping I'm talking about the right guy. If not, I'll get in trouble. But I says, well, what's the guy's name? She says, every Sunday morning, I get to hear a guy to preach, and his name is Tim Cruz. And she said, I says, he's coming to our Bible conference this year. And he says, no way. So, so if you enjoy hearing him preach tonight, maybe encourage Mrs. Wallace with that. So, but I think you're going to enjoy him tonight. He's a very good Bible preacher and looking forward to what God's laid upon his heart.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. And my, what singing. I so enjoyed that special number in the choir. Isn't it wonderful to have the songs of Zion in our heart? And we have a song for the Lord. And God put a new song in my mouth when he saved me as a senior in high school. 38 years ago, I think about how God changed my life and God called me to preach in 1981. And I never heard there was such a thing as a Bible college. And but my pastor told me where he went to school and I went there. And I was praying for a wife and asking God to just direct my steps. I got to my senior year and I just reminded the Lord that I was still there waiting. And I'll never forget, I was on my knees. God brought me to a place to where I had read in the book of Jeremiah about the sign of the unmarried prophet, and it scared me to death. I thought, oh no, Lord, please, please not. Please no, Lord. And so I got on my knees at a youth camp years ago, and I surrendered to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you don't want me to ever get married, I won't. And I meant it. The hardest prayer ever prayed, but I meant it with all my heart. And while I was still on my knees in that prayer room at that youth camp, I opened my Bible and it just opened up to Psalm 128. I read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, jumped off the page and hit me upside the head. You ever had a verse do that to you? I'm telling you. It said, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. And God said, I have a wife and a family for you. I jumped off my knees and said, praise God. I took off running out of that prayer room. You remember, it's a youth camp, right? I thought she was there that week. And so I started looking for her, you know, and I'm like, is that her, Lord? Or is that her? You know, what about her? Please not her, but Lord, what about this one? I mean, I was looking. I thought, she's here this week. And no, it wasn't. That was not the case. She was not there. But God had me wait on him a few more years. And when I was a senior at Bible college, Rebecca came as a freshman. And she got saved as a 13-year-old pastor's daughter. Grew up in a pastor's home, playing the piano and things. And we got to talking. I said, I've been praying that God would bring me someone who wants to serve him with me. And she said, well, I believe God's put it in my heart to marry a preacher. I said, well, I'm a preacher and you're a piano player. You know, maybe we need to think about this and pray about it and see if it's God's will. And God put us together. And then God began to bless us with children. We had six boys, and then Dr. Ms. Lee Robertson from Chattanooga was preaching. He was at our church, and Ms. Robertson was with him. And she said, after six boys, I'm going to help you pray for a little girl. And she said, there's one condition that you need to, you'll have to name her after me, Caroline. And we said, well, we sure will. She said, no, I'm just kidding about that. We said, we're not kidding. After six boys, if God gives us a little girl, her name is Caroline. And sure enough, we got Caroline, and then we got Hope, and then we got John and Victoria. So we ended up with seven boys and three girls. Now we have our eighth grandchild on the way, and I'm just so thankful. God has been merciful to me. And I grew up in a home that was in church when I was a little boy, and my parents got their eyes off the Lord and off of each other and parted. And the Lord only knows some of the things that we faced. But through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. God's kept me, and I'm thankful for it. God called us to Shining Light back in 1990, and He led us to start a school in 2000. We're marking our 20th year there in the academy. But then a few years or so ago, God opened up a children's home to us called The Shepherd's Place. And there's some prayer cards in the back, and I hope you'll get a copy of this and pray for the children. Pray for God's blessing. We're just asking God to direct us. It's such a delicate ministry. We have to bathe it in prayer, that God would get the glory, that God would lead in the workers and all the things. And I'd like to tell you a little bit more about the testimony of what God did there tomorrow night in the service and some of the things that God has done in my life as a young man, how God preserved me and how God has worked and helped me and directed me these years. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And we're here tonight because of a merciful God whose mercies were new every morning. And, you know, we think so many times that we're at the mercy of man or circumstance, but what God has taught me that ultimately we're at the mercy of a merciful God whose mercy endureth forever. There's no better place to be, right? He is a merciful God, and He's such a wonderful Savior. He's been good to me, and I thank Him for it. I want to give Him honor and praise. And what will He do yet with my life, with my family, with our church family, the children's home? What will God do yet here in this local church? I want to live with a spirit of faith and a spirit of expectation, don't you? Because God has a purpose and a plan for each of our lives. God has a reason for us being here. And I appreciate your pastor and his family, their faithfulness to God and your faithfulness in being here. And I remember when y'all came to camp years ago, and I marvel at what God has done in the camp ministry and how He's developing things while we're there. I'll tie that into the message, Lord willing, tomorrow night. But I'm just looking forward to sharing these nights with you, just looking to the Word of God and asking God for His help. The Lord knows where we're at, and He knows what we need. One thing God is teaching me along the way, I've been preaching now since a senior in high school. That's 38 years ago. And I look back and see how God has not only been faithful and merciful, but God miraculously, I tell my wife, I look at her, I say, can you believe God's kept us like He has all these years? All the things we face, all the challenges, I mean, raising 10 children, we'd pull up in places, we had our own 15-passenger van, and people asked us, said, do you have a children's home? I said, well, actually, I do, you know. We had our kids' toys out in the front yard. Somebody stopped by the house one day and said, do you have a daycare here? We'd like to enroll our children. I said, well, actually, we do, you know, with all these kids. But through so many different things, God has been faithful. And I want to remind us all tonight that there's a God in heaven who knows your name. He knows your address. He knows exactly where you are tonight, and He knows exactly what you need. And He has a heart to help us. The thing that God is showing me more and more as I go in the Christian life and walking with the Lord is God's heart toward me. The Bible says in Psalm 33 that the Bible, the Word of God, is a revelation of His heart to all generations. If we could just see the heart of God toward us tonight, oh, we'd be so encouraged. We wouldn't waver as much or doubt the Lord. For sure, we wouldn't indict the Lord or charge Him foolishly. Boy, we get through troubles and trials in life sometimes and we think, wow, Lord, where are You? What's going on in my life? I remember being in such a place some time back, and I thought, I don't feel God. I don't sense God. I don't see what God's doing right now. In fact, everything without and everything within is saying God is not at work at all in my life. And then it dawned on me. So this is faith. I don't feel God. I don't sense God. I don't see what God's doing. But by faith, I take him at his word and continue on. That's what faith is, right? Taking God at his word when we feel it, when we don't. When it makes sense to us, when it makes no sense to us. When it's coming together, when it's coming apart at the seams. There's a God in heaven who cares for his children. And he knows where we are tonight. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me this evening to the book of Psalms. We're going to begin here in Psalm 56. And so find your place there, if you will. Psalm 56. This is a powerful passage. The sweet psalmist of Israel, David, pens under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 56. David is running from King Saul. Saul is pursuing him with jealousy and vengeance and rage to take him down. But God somehow keeps preserving David and securing him through all the troubles and trials that he faces. And David, at times, his faith wavers. He ends up down among the Philistines. And here we find him wandering, running from Saul, and actually getting himself in a place to where he realizes he shouldn't be. Have you ever done that? You ever just gotten yourself in a situation and you just look around and think, how in the world did I get here? What in the world am I doing here? Lord, have mercy on me and help me. Show me, I don't know what to do. That's where David was. David was put to the worst down here. And as he was grappling with this, being in enemy territory and not knowing what would happen to him and sensing the spirit of the people there, he cries unto God. And he says in verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Underline the expression there, be merciful unto me, O God. See, this is the prayer of David. I'm preaching tonight on what to do in trouble, what to do in a time of trouble, what to do in a tough situation. I'll tell you what, we must always begin with God, looking to him and crying out to him in prayer. And that's what you find here in Psalm 56. David is in a difficult situation. He's made some decisions that's placed him where he knows he doesn't need to be ultimately. And so he's crying out to God, help, Lord. Lord, show me what to do. Because I'm realizing day after day what I'm up against. Verse 2, mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are evil or against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. He's expressing his confidence in God. He knows that he is not to have confidence in himself. He knows that he has erred here. And he's crying out to God for instruction, for direction, even correction. Lord, I've got a correct course here. And so, Lord, show me what to do. And as he cries out to God, notice as he says this, in God in verse 4, he says it twice there. And the emphasis as he looks to the Lord, and he says in verse number 9, for God is for me, underline that. If God be for us,
Who can be against us? If God be for us, what does it matter who's against us? If God be for us, who will prevail? Our God will prevail, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We have a God in heaven who will reach down to us and sustain us. Why? Because the Bible says God is for me. That's wonderful when you realize how many people sometimes can be against you. They work against you. They doubt you. They watch your steps to try to trip you up. That's what David is talking about here. They wrest his words. They're looking for some way to catch him in his words, or misquote or twist his words to say something that he didn't really say or mean. That's the spirit of those who do not have a heart for God. That is a spirit of pride and self-will that wells up in so many, even in this hour, is it not? And so he says here, in God, verse 10, will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. There it is again and again. He's looking to God. So many times we turn to everyone and everything else in trouble and then wait last to turn to God, when we should turn to God first. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. God, you know who I am. You know where I am. You know what I'm facing. Lord, help me to not only pray, but help me to trust you. He says in verse number 4, in God have I put my trust. Notice he says this matter of trust again in verse number 11. In God have I put my trust. I'm just going to trust God. I was reading the passage of scripture in the book of Joshua recently, and I had marked a note in my Bible back in 2009. And about that time, the Lord only knows the perfect storm that came into my life. You know what a perfect storm is? When every variable is ripe for the storm of your life, and you're literally catching it from every angle imaginable. Well, that's where I was in 2009. I read that verse there in the book of Joshua. It talks about how not one word of God or his promise will fall to the ground. God will fulfill everything he said. And I read just the other day again that note I wrote there in 2009. I said, I'm just going to take God at his word and keep going. I'm just going to take God at his word and keep going. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to cast my care upon the Lord. I'm going to be confident in him that he knows where I'm at. He knows the struggle. He knows the storm. He may not calm the storm right now, but I can trust him to calm me. He wants to teach me to be steady at the helm in this storm of life, learning how to navigate, not only seeing his hand with me, guiding me, but also being able to testify to others that as God has been faithful in my storm, he'll be faithful in your storm. We've all perhaps heard it said, we're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or getting ready to go into a storm, right? Life is filled with storms. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. The good captain of our soul is able to see us safely o'er. We must trust him in all things. And David says, I'm going to trust you, Lord. You remember what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to hold to your promise, Lord. You know what I found holding to the promise of God? I literally found this in my life. I found the very God of the promise holding to me. God helped me. God sustained me. God brought me through. I marvel at that. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about those who obtain promises by faith. By faith, they obtained promises. I looked that word up one time. I thought, what does that mean, obtained? And the thought there is this, is that they held to the promise of God until that very promise was realized on their behalf. They were steadfast in their confidence in God. They cast their care upon the Lord. They rolled their burdens upon the Lord. They expressed confidence in God. They trusted in Him. I remember back years ago in the mid-2000s, we had just had our 10th child. Our first child was by C-section, and then 8 natural births, and last minute, the 10th child, the doctor said, "This baby's breech. We're going in for a C-section instead." It's like, oh my. Well, we came out of that, praise the Lord, little Victoria was born. What a precious 15-year-old she is now in our home. And we had these children. My wife was trying to recover from this. She had postpartum depression and things she was dealing with. We had outgrown our home. I mean, we were just running into each other. We had some land that the Lord had provided, and we were just praying about what to do. We're going to put a modular house on it. We actually had a house given to us that we were going to move down to that property, okay? And so I'm thinking, praise God, we get a free house. It was nice. A developer had bought the land, was going to put like 15,000 square foot houses on that land. And so that smaller, nice house, they said, "That's got to go." And they said, "It's yours, preacher." I thought, what an answer to prayer. Amen. And so I've got my moving friend and his company. They're going to go see it, and I'm praying, "Oh, Lord, lead us. Oh, God, you know, my wife's struggling, and, you know, the kids and all, we just need your help." And we sold our house that we had and moved into the church's guest house, which is half the size of what we were in. The pressure was on, and I was praying, oh, Lord, help us. And I'll never forget, I prayed that morning, "Lord, if it's not your will, shut the door." I've learned this. Don't pray that if you don't mean it, right? Don't pray that if you don't mean it. But I did. And I'll never forget, I was in a conference down in Georgia. And at lunchtime, after the morning service, I went out. They had a Christian school there, and they had some ball fields out back. And I went out there, and I called this fellow up, this house mover, and I said, "Brother Jim, how's it going?" He said, "I'm doing good, preacher." And I said, "Well, did you get out to measure the house and check all that out about moving?" And he said, "Yes, I did." He said, "But it won't work, preacher." I said, "It won't work." He said, and he had moved other houses for the church and things. I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "4 feet too wide. 4 feet too wide. And my first thought is, can we chop it in half and sew it back together, you know, when we get it there, right? Or just shave 4 feet off. That's my first thought. It's like the Lord reminded me, when I shut the door, don't try to climb in through the window. Amen. And I said, "Lord," I said, "Okay, Jim, thank you." I got off the phone. My wife was struggling. I mean, I'd go home sometimes and she'd just be sitting there in tears. One day in the back bedroom, I went back there. She's just on the bed, just sitting there, just weeping. I put my arm around her, sat down. I said, "Rebecca, I don't know what really you're feeling right now, what all you're going through." I said, "But I want you to know that I love you and I'm with you in this thing, and God's going to bring us through. God's going to help us." And so I was believing God and thinking this was the answer to prayer, right? And then just like that, the door closed. And then we were going down these different paths and all, but that day, here's what the Lord put in my heart. I remember just looking up in the sky on those ball fields behind that church down there. I said, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you." With tears coming down my cheeks, I said, "Lord, I'm going to trust you. You know and you do all things well." I tell you, I was brokenhearted that day. But I said, "Lord, I'm going to trust you." So we're looking at other options, you know. We're trying to do something quick. The last thing we want to do is build a house. But to just get right to the heart of this thing, at the end of this situation there, the deacons and the men of the church said, "Preacher, if you need to build again, we'll help you." And help us they did. And I'm telling you, God provided for us a beautiful home
that was fit for 10 children. So much more than we would have ever done for ourselves. There is a God in heaven who's trustworthy. You can trust Him, dear friend. Would you rely upon Him tonight? Would you just express your confidence in the Lord? Would you cry to Him, "Be merciful unto me, O God"? Would you just say, "Lord, I'm going to trust You"? When it makes sense, when it doesn't make sense. When I can see it and sense it, when I can't see it at all. I know that You see what I cannot. So I'm looking to the One who does see. And I'm going to trust You, Lord. I'm going to obey You. I'm going to rest in Your promise. But He doesn't stop there. He says, "Lord, I'm not only going to trust You, but I'm going to praise You. I'm going to pray, I'm going to trust, and I'm going to praise." In verse 10 there, that's what he says. "In God will I" what? "Praise His word." That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? In verse number 12, the latter part, "O God, I will render praises unto Thee." The first part there, he said, "Thy vows are upon me." In other words, the inference here is this, is that there was a time, perhaps in difficulty past, that David made a promise, "God, I'm going to praise You come what may. Thy vows are upon me. I made a vow to You, God, that I was going to praise You in season and out of season." If I could see it or if I couldn't see it. If it made sense, if it didn't compute at all, "God, I was just going to praise You because You're God and You're good. I'm going to praise You for the blessing that You give. I'm going to praise You for being the blesser You are." He is a great blesser, is He not? Oh, I tell you, dear friend, David said, "Lord, I'm going to praise You. I'm going to honor You. I'm going to worship You because You are the great God of heaven. I'm not going to fear people just talking, plotting, planning against me, whatever they can do. Our God is greater. My God is able." The Bible says we're not to fear the ones who can destroy the body, but we're to fear the One who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. You know, a genuine fear for God casts out all lesser fears. When we truly fear God and reverence God, then God will give us a confidence in the face of all that would threaten us or intimidate us otherwise. And so he says here, they're gathering themselves together and they're doing everything they can against me, Lord. They're even marking my steps in verse number 6 when they wait for my soul. They're just casting a snare, an ambush they're planning and plotting. "Lord, shall they escape by iniquity? Surely not. Surely You're going to call them into account." Boy, I like what he says here in verse 8. "Thou tellest my wanderings." They were marking his steps. But you know what David was saying here? He said, "Lord, You're marking my steps. You know everywhere I'm going, my wanderings, my goings to and fro, my coming and going. You know every step I take." Isn't that wonderful? "Thou tellest my wanderings." Other people might be marking your steps for your harm, but God says that He orders the steps of a good man. He not only orders our steps, but He also orders our stops. God knows. There are times when God says move. There are times when God says wait. There are times when God says move, pause, move again. Read in Numbers chapter 9 where God says to His people, "Now there's going to be a cloud that will hover over you by the day. Now I want you to move with the cloud. Now if the cloud moves, you move. But if the cloud stops a day or two or a week or longer, however long the cloud stays, you wait. But when the cloud moves, you move." I'm telling you what, we don't have a cloud right now, but we have the Holy Spirit and we have the Word of God. And God will direct our steps. He'll direct our stops. "Thou tellest my wanderings." God knows every step that I take. And no wonder He says, His Word is a lamp unto my feet. That's to show me exactly where I am. And it's a light unto my path, where I'm to go. My boys would call me sometimes going back to Bible college. And this was before GPS, all right? And they'd say, "Dad," I'd say, "Yes, son." They said, "I need your help." I said, "Why?" I said, "I'm lost."
Said, I don't know if I missed a turn or what. I'm trying to get back to school. You know, it's about almost a 5-hour drive. And I said, where are you? Boy, what a question. Where are you? I don't know. I said, well, son, I can't tell you what turn to make unless I can know where you are. If I can know where you are, then I can tell you where you need to go. You know, a lot of times God just simply wants to show us where we are. And sometimes we just need to be honest with God, do we not? I've challenged our staff this year. I said, let's just have some honest evaluation before God in prayer and some discussions among ourselves. Let's just be honest with where we are in our walk with God, in our service to God, in our commitment. Let's just be honest about the thing. Lord, deal with me directly. Lord, deal with me deeply. Lord, deal with me thoroughly. Show me where I'm at. You know, one of the most painful things God's ever done for me is to show me. I can tell you that. The ugliest thing I've ever seen, I mean painful, is when God has pulled back the veil and given me a glimpse of my own heart. That is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. No wonder we're not to put any confidence in our flesh, right? Our confidence is to be in God. But God not only sometimes shows us our own heart, is not just so we see it, but that's His kindness to us. So we can have an honest inventory and an honest discussion with God in prayer. Lord, I see my need. I see where I'm at. I see how I've got busy or distracted or tired or weary or angry or resentful or bitter. I didn't even know I was bitter in my heart. But bitterness is a result of a series of unresolved conflicts. And I just went through this and ran over that and did the other and just kind of moved on. But I never dealt with it in my heart. And now I'm still angry about it deep down. I'm still grieved. And God says, I want you to see that so we can deal with that. Because a little leaven leavens what? The whole lump. If it's not dealt with, it'll spread. It'll get worse. So God in His kindness shows us where we are. Isn't that wonderful? A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. All right, this is where you go from here. And so my prayer oftentimes, we're praying, Lord, show me where to go. Show me what to do. We maybe just ought to back up another step and start with this prayer. Lord, show me where I am. Show me where I am honestly. Show me the attitude of my heart. Show me why I do what I do. Show me my motive, my attitude, my spirit. You might just be surprised. And it might be painful. But I'll tell you what, it'll be very productive and fruitful if we'll just be honest with God and with ourselves. Isn't that right? You know, you hear this word, people are looking for authenticity. You know what people are looking for? Just someone who's real. They don't need this superficial facade, this Phariseeism. I've got it all together. No, you don't. Not a one of us has it all together. Isn't that right? If we did, we wouldn't need to pray. And by the way, let's just be honest. Is that why some of us are not praying? By not praying, I'm saying I don't need to pray. By not asking God for wisdom, I'm saying my wisdom is enough. By not confessing my sins every day, I'm saying I'm content with the attitude and the condition of my heart. I am righteous enough, Lord. Really? You say, I'd never say that out loud, and we wouldn't, would we? But it'd be good tonight if the Holy Spirit would say that out loud to us in our heart. Would it not? Because God says, through David here, thou tellest my wanderings. Lord, you know where I'm at. You know what's going on. Not just our steps outwardly, but He knows the attitude and the condition of our heart inwardly. And He says, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You know what's so wonderful about this is that God is not only aware of our wanderings, our steps, but He's also aware
of our sorrows. He knows the hurt that some of us carry tonight. Now, I've been pastoring and preaching for some time now, and I've worked with a lot of people. I grew up in a home where there was tension, friction, fussing all the time. I grew up just being the diffuser and the peacemaker. I didn't want to fight. Why fight? Life is good, right? Life's a gift. People just always aggravated, looking for a fight. I thought, what's this? And I think about it. There's a lot of people in life, the truth be known, they're grieved in their hearts. Some over certain regrets in their own lives, but some because of decisions that others made and affected them in a very negative, hurtful way. And we carry things like that. I have cried tears alone before God that no one knew that I was shedding. But God saw every tear. He knew the sorrow behind that tear. Charles Spurgeon said, "Tears are liquid prayers." The first song I sung in church as an 18-year-old senior in high school was "Tears Are Language, God Understands." I'm glad when others don't understand, we have a God who understands. Aren't you? He knows our tears. He's got a record of them. Oh, we have a God who's so great. If He can keep the number of the hair on our head, surely He can keep up with our tears, right? I mean, our God is infinitely wise and powerful. There's nothing our God cannot do. He knows you tonight. And sometimes in His kindness to us, He gives us another greater glimpse into ourselves. Deal with me, Lord, directly, deeply, thoroughly. Show me where I am and where I'm to go from here. What do you want with my life? You know what David says here in verse 13? "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" You know, the two operative words here in verse 13 are the words death and falling. "Deliver my soul from death, wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling?" Notice the contrast and the comparison all the while there. He's saying this: if God can keep me alive, which He did, He delivered me from death, well, surely He can keep me going, right? If God can keep me alive, He can keep me going. Hey, and by the way, if God can save my soul, can't He save my life? Do you know what the local church is in our lives? It's a place where we preach the gospel. God wants us to hear the gospel and be saved. Our soul is saved. We're saved forever, right? But then God gives the local church family to save our lives. You understand? To save our lives so we don't just aimlessly wander and throw our lives away, but we're taught, we're loved, we're involved. Oh, the tragedy of a saved soul and a lost life. I'm telling you, friend, if you can trust God to save you, you can trust Him to keep you. If you can trust Him to take you to heaven, you can trust Him for rent this month. Isn't that right? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor received begging bread, have you? Now, I've had mustard sandwiches. I've had to be creative before, you know, make the best of what I had. But thank God I had something, right? I can tell you one thing about a mustard sandwich. It does not matter how much salt and pepper you put on. It still don't taste good. I tried my best to season that thing, I'm telling you, but that's all I had. There's a God in heaven who said, "I'm going to take care of my own." There is a God who will come to your aid, and David is recounting that before Him. If you've preserved me and kept me alive before, surely you're going to keep me alive and help me to keep going now. God is with us. God is for us. And God is working on our behalf. That's Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, fully complete it, fully bring it to pass until the day of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Till that day when he comes back, he's going to finish what he started in you and me. Aren't you glad for that? I marvel at the faithfulness of God. And when we get in a situation, when we're put to the worst, we got trouble on every hand. And it's like sometimes even I made decisions that kind of put me in this predicament. Don't beat yourself up there. Don't talk yourself out of what God will show you mercy-wise, because he is a merciful God. Just simply pray and trust and praise his name. He's worthy of our praise, is he not? I'll never forget that day on that ball field saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. My heart was crushed. I was so disappointed, so confused, not knowing what we were going to do. But I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Several years ago, we went through a situation in our church. I mentioned about this perfect storm. We're in a building program. And I mean just the bottom fell out. And the Lord only knows. It was all in that same season. My wife was struggling, the house situation. It was the perfect storm. In the middle of all that, I was trying to get the house finished to take care of my wife so we could finish up the building project at church. And by the time we got the house finished and got back on the project, we found that someone had gone through the funds that were set aside to finish it. Took my breath away when I heard it. Boy, did we pray. Me and the deacons got together and prayed. We fasted. Lord, what do you want us to do? I tell you a lot of things, but God led us to give it to him. He said, I'm able to give you much more than this. You let me handle it. Now, God may lead people to deal with things differently, but that's the way he led us. Give this to me. The deacons agreed, we're going to give this to God. We had some people upset, walked out on us, said, how are you going to finish these projects without our money, preacher? I'd be careful talking like that. Like it's on us. I said, well, we're just going to have to trust God. Well, they walked out just... Yeah, I believe that when I see it. And boy, did I have to bear that reproach. Oh, the reproach of that setback. And I cried out to God. I'd cry out to God. I'd cry out to God. I said, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Lord, I give it to you. You said in your word that if we give our bad to you, you can bring good out of it. You're not limited, Lord. I tell you, that project sat there for some years. Incomplete. Oh, it grieved me so. But I kept trusting God. Kept trusting God. You know, a couple years ago, God sent a couple to our church. Never heard of them, never met them. They just showed up one day. We got to talking. They joined the church and got involved. And I started asking about some things, you know, getting involved. And so it kind of came around to that project and what we faced there. It says, you know what? We can help you with that. I said, you can. It says, you know, there's a way I believe we can help you get this project done at no cost to the church. I said, you're kidding me. They said, no, if you'll trust us with it, let us take it. We'll get it done. I had prayer with that couple last night before church in that project. They turned the power on yesterday.
Praise God.
What we had lost compared to what God gave us, five times more God gave us than we lost. God said, hey, don't take those mercenaries, king. Well, we done paid them 100 talents of silver. God said that he don't want them to fight for you. He said, well, what are we going to do with that money? The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You leave that silver with God. God can make it up to you and much more. That's what God led us to do. We just truly gave it to God, yielded totally to the Lord. And I'm telling you, there is a God in heaven who heard our cry and showed us such mercy. It is stunning to me to know that God turned that thing all the way around for His glory. Is that not why we're praying tonight? For His name's sake. I've said, Lord, please help us not to hurt Your name through this. Lord, I want You to get glory. And you know, it's a blessing to me as these people told me this week. They said, Pastor, the people who know this situation know what the church faced here. And he said, I'm speaking of some in City Hall, the setback, the delay. He said, their respect for this church is through the roof. They know what you faced. They know how y'all responded. And they see now what God has done. And they could not respect you more than they do right now. And I said, to God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Will God allow us to be put to the worst sometimes? Sometimes do we make decisions that puts ourselves in places that we'd rather not be? Well, surely we do. But you know what? At the end of the day, we have a God in heaven who's able to take our bad and whatever it is and bring good out of it. And we need to know that He tells our wanderings. He marks our steps. He even knows our tears and our sorrows. He just simply invites us tonight to come boldly before His throne of grace and to cry unto Him and say, Lord, I'm going to trust You with this, and to praise Him by faith. I like to praise God when it happens, don't you? But I'll tell you what, have you ever learned to praise God by faith in view that it will happen? Amen? I'm telling you, God is wanting to build the faith of His people. He's wanting to build the faith of this church. And I'm telling you, the story is still being written, what God is doing in the life and ministry of His work there. Put to the works, oh, we've been there. Oh, my. But I'll tell you, Lord willing, tomorrow night, some of the things that God has done and some of the doors He's opened, things that we could have never dreamed of, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, wouldn't even be in our mind to ask for it. But God is working it out. He's a great God. Amen? Don't you want to draw nigh to Him? Don't you want to worship Him, praise Him, and thank Him for His mercy that He's already shown? And express confidence, Lord, as You have been with me. I know You are with me, and You'll stay with me every step of the way. That's what Psalm 73 says, that You'll guide me through this life, and afterwards, You'll receive me up to glory. Amen. Amen. Our God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm with you for the long haul. We're going to get through this, and we're going to get through it together. That's what I told Rebecca. When she would be in the back bedroom, I'd come in and find her there at times just weeping. She told me later on, she said, Tim, I can't tell you what I was feeling when I was carrying. She said, but in those moments when you would reassure me that we're going to get through this, that somehow God would use that to help me to believe and have some hope we are going to make it. And you know what? By the grace of God, we did make it. And now we're enjoying these grandbabies. How many grandparents do we have here? All these grandparents said, amen, right? I'll tell you, it's a grand thing to be a grandma or a grandpa. Isn't that right? God's been good to us. Don't you want to love Him more, the Lord? He loves us so. He has such a heart for us. He knows where we are. And you know, it'd be a wonderful thing if we just come and draw nigh to Him tonight. Draw nigh to God, the Bible says, and He'll draw nigh to you. It'd be wonderful if we'd just gather around here or pray, however the Lord leads you, and just say, Lord, thank You for being so good to me. Help me. Be merciful unto me. Whatever your situation is, bring it before the Lord and leave it there and trust God with it. Say, Lord, You helping me, I'm going to praise You by faith as I leave tonight. Let's bow for prayer.